Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
For you to get in on the conversation with us, 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Jay Noon,
and Joa.
And we have a lot to talk about tonight. There is a really terrible story, in my opinion, out of New York from ABC News about Uber and Lyft. Jay also wanted to talk more about the guy, the Maine shooter from the state Maine, Robert Card, and what the military knew about him before he went and shot up a bowling alley, was it?
Bowling alley and a bar, is what this report said.
Yeah, so we've got that story here. You can go ahead and start reading it if you want. It's from the dailymail.com.
What this says is newly released text messages reveal the extent to which Maine cops were warned about mass shooter Robert Card by his fellow service members in the Army Reserves, who reported their fear 6 weeks prior to the attack that killed 18 people.
Wow, so people that, like, worked with him, like his friends. I thought it was maybe some kind of group that was investigating him, but instead it's people who worked with him, probably.
Yeah, one of the guys says he loves him and wants to help him, but doesn't know how.
That sucks.
In September, Army reservists were so concerned that Card 40 was about to kill that they told each other to change the passcode to the entrance gate of their base in Saco and warned each other to be armed in his presence.
Whoa.
Change the passcode to the unit gate and be armed if Sergeant First Class does not arrive. Please. I believe he's messed up in the head, and this is quoting these text messages, and threatened the other unit in other places. I love him to death, but I do not know how to help him, and if he refuses to get help, I'm afraid he's going to F up his life hearing the things he thinks he heard.
Oh, no, so he's probably hearing voices.
One text by Sergeant Hogsden. And then it's got the, you know, whole list of the texts.
Someone says here, I believe he's going to snap and do a mass shooting. But were they just saying this to each other, or were they telling the police this?
We'll get into it. These text messages sent by an Army reservist sergeant to his supervisor in September reveal that the extent to which there were concerns about Robert Card. The supervisor called police, who issued an alert on Card, but nothing was done to bring him in or strip him of his weapon. So I'm going to pause right here for a minute on reading this. A few comments here. So when the police get, you know, these calls, and the FBI gets, you know, these calls that, like, people are doing, like, you know, acting, you know, weird, or they're going to be getting crazy, kind of like there was this kid, like, somewhere around Chicago, what, like a year ago or a year and a half, he shot up a bunch of people from the top of a building. And all of a sudden he had, like, this really nice, like, you know, semi-automatic rifle that was, you know, a few thousand dollars. He had several thousand dollars worth of gear, but, like, had no money. So somebody, like, bought him all this stuff.
Yeah.
And, it, like, his mother, you know, had made reports. I can't remember, but it's often with these, you know, mass shootings, we're finding that there are reports, and it seems like it's pretty convenient for law enforcement to just sort of ignore them, especially for, you know, the gun grabber side, you know, these leftist Democrats and the Republicans, you know, they thirst for power just as much as the Democrats, you know, and all statists are bad as far as I'm concerned, because they all just, you know, lust for this power and don't really care how they get it. And by sort of allowing these things to happen, then they can come forth and be like, hey, we need more laws. We need red flag laws. We need, you know, this ability, because they don't have an opportunity to, like, demand these kind of things, you know, from the voters or from the people or from the legislature until these, you know, mass, you know, casualty events happen.
Well, so do you think that sometimes these people get reported and then the cops are conveniently handed a perfect scapegoat and they can even maybe arm him, like this guy you're talking about from Chicago, and then say, oh, look, it wasn't us. It was this crazy guy.
Yeah, more like they knew it was going to happen, so yeah, let's just let him keep his gun.
Or they help it along.
Right.
Yeah. So let's not let an opportunity go to waste, right?
So Alex Jones reported years ago on there was a 1993 there was the World Trade Center bombing, and this guy who was basically did that bombing was totally helped and paid by like FBI informants to like do this. And this was, you know, declassified, you know, years later. But
those bombs didn't end up going off. They were kind of, quote-unquote, stopped.
Yep.
One did go off.
I think there was an explosion.
Huge, like six floors of their parking garage were blown out. It was like this huge...
This is World Trade Center you're talking about?
Yeah,
or
underground.
Oklahoma City.
No, World Trade Center. Okay. There was a bombing before the...
93.
Right? And this was... It blew like six levels of the parking garage. Like, it looked like a big, like, circular sort of... Like, a bomb went off. And, yeah, it was a bomb. But, like, the thing is, I don't know the full details of that, but I believe that, yes, they helped him build it, but they didn't give him, like, the final component. But I believe that's how it went down, and he finished the component.
Yeah, so...
Right?
Yeah, and so these, like, patsies are, like, helped along. These crazy people are helped along. You know, it's pretty convenient how they've got military ties, CIA ties. I mean, look at Timothy McVeigh. Timothy McVeigh was an Oklahoma City guy who blew up the Oklahoma City FBI building or federal building or whatever it is. And there was like a daycare in there with a bunch of kids. But of course, and then there's claims that building was like wired, you know, days before or weeks before with explosives. Essentially, from what I understand, like the Air Force has like a explosive investigation unit or some wing in the military, and they tried to like replicate this alleged like fertilizer diesel fuel type concoction that Timothy McVeigh allegedly put in a U-Haul van, I guess, and
rider truck
or whatever, some kind of rental van. And they, like, tried to, like, replicate, like, this explosion happening, and it wouldn't do anything because basically it was, like, and one of my really good friends, Silver Dave, was a military, you know, Special Forces demolitions expert, and he was talking about this, you know, Oklahoma City thing. It was like, there's no way that could have been, you know, from the truck outside, the way that damage happened. The building had to be exploded from like columns and inside. He's a demolition guy. And kind of like what, you know, 9/11, there's, you know, no way that like the building just fell down on its own footprint.
Yeah, it was like free falling.
Also, that building was designed to take a bomb hit, I believe.
Which one?
The Oklahoma City bomb.
Well, we do have a caller, and it's an open phone talk show. So I'm going to bring Sam from Ohio on. What's on your mind, Sam?
I was just curious what happened to Ian.
Oh, so Ian went to prison and he got sentenced for 8 years.
Well, at least it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
That's true, but...
It's pretty bad, but...
Pretty bad, but, I mean, I was happy that it wasn't like 20 years or something, because 8 years means, like, if he doesn't win appeal, maybe he'll serve like 5. But if it was 20 years, it would be like, oh, if he doesn't win appeal, he's still going to serve like 18 or something, so...
But specifically, I remember him saying that he was concerned it would be decades.
Yeah. I mean, for a while, there were a lot more charges, and then one got dropped.
Well, at least he only got 8 years. That's good news.
I think appeal is going to go well, but...
Yeah, I hope so, too.
At this point, Ian got railroaded.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
Well, no question there.
Yeah, definitely. Is that all you have for us, Sam?
That's all I had.
Thank you, Sam.
Bye.
We have an unscreened caller. Unscreened caller, what's on your mind?
Listening to your comments regarding the Muslims in Gaza in relation to Israel.
Was that yesterday?
Must have been yesterday's show.
Oh, that's possible. That's very possible. 2 points I wanted to make. One, Moses went on Mount Moriah, going back thousands of years, that was Jewish land. Number two,
somebody going back on a mountain thousands of years ago matters today. Why?
God gave that land to those people. In fact, King David purchased it. Are you aware of that? That he purchased the threshing floor of Arana in the Bible?
Well, who's he? He's some dead person. I don't know what the point is.
I would say, what is the significance into owning land? Is there some magical
own it forever?
Owning of this land that's going to cause...
Lived there for thousands
I'm just trying
years.
To get to the point of it.
Yeah, yes, there is. Because in their religion,
okay,
God has pre-established for eternity. He said, Jerusalem, I will put my name there. And if you zoom out from a satellite and you look at Mount Moriah, they're in even the ridge line is in the shape of Jehovah. In the very vowels of the way you would, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, how do you pronounce his name?
So.
His name, he said, I will put my name in Jerusalem. So they're commanded to. So they can disobey their God or take your opinion? That's their options? You want them to take your opinion, some libertarians in New Hampshire that want open borders, or they can obey their eternal God?
How is that even a command? That doesn't even sound like a command. He just said, I'll put my name there.
Obviously, I'm not getting anywhere with doctrinal fact that King David purchased that land, the threshing floor of Arana.
But you're not answering our question about that. If we just talk about that one subject, why would it matter that someone purchased land thousands of years ago? Why would that matter today? Like, did he hand it down to his... sons every single year, and like no one else has ever been in charge of it? No. It was like owned by completely different people, multiple different times.
Sweetheart.
I don't talk to idiots.
So here's the thing. I had some questions for that guy. So like,
well, I don't talk to disrespectful people. Like, I don't do this show
sure.
for no reason. I already do
okay,
it for
sweetheart.
Free. Like, just so stupid. Like,
so anyways, when it comes to land ownership, one of the questions I like to ask, so for example, I was in New York State and I got a ticket on the New York Thruway, and the officer on the stand, state trooper, said, the state of New York owns the New York Thruway.
Hmm.
And I said, okay, can you produce a deed where the state of New York is a grantee and there's a signature, a wedding signature from a grantor, a man or a woman, granting the land to the state of New York? In which no such deed exists. Because,
well, God put New York's name on the mountain there, so.
Well, who's God, from what writing?
Right.
You know, this thing just saying because God says it doesn't mean it doesn't hold, it's not valid at all, because, you know, there are people that, you know, believe, you know, there's all kinds of gods. There's people that believe the fairies are gods, or, you know, the Great Spirit, whoever, Muhammad, Jehovah, Jesus, you know, they're all got, you know, you know, all these crazy people that, you know, get that just totally are wrapped up in a lot of this worship stuff. And I shouldn't say they're all crazy, but some of them are really into it. But
like him, like the guy who just called, basically he's making our point saying, oh, well, what are they supposed to do? Disobey their God? Instead, we got to kill people. Like, that's all he's saying. Like,
right.
He's just,
like, let's just, like, the logic of what maybe what God would want would be peace, right? So,
right.
Like, if someone, like, if say, okay, we have this beautiful place, Mount Moriah, whatever you call it, Moriah, and, you know, oh, we got this enemy coming to attack us. Should we kill them? We should fight back? Or would God say, let them have it? Like, where I'm not saying, you know, not defend your lands and that sort of thing, but, like, is it really worth risking your culture, your life, your families, like, everything about who you people are? To die over it? Like, I feel like it's just absurd, a biblical fight for nothing.
Yeah,
so does, you know, did King David get a deed from God? Or whoever, you know, he claims he bought it from? You know, is there a deed? Is there a chain of custody?
Even if there was, there is there today? Like I was saying, did he pass it down to his sons every generation and they, kept control of it?
Right.
Took care of it?
Probably not. But the bottom line is whoever's got the most amount of guns, which is whoever the United States wishes to give all the guns and ammunition and bombs and, you know, weapons of mass destruction. They're all, you know, pretty much produced by the United States all around the world. And so, like, the idea that the United States is, you know, giving all of this money for, like, my entire life. I've been, you know, 40 years. They've just been given billions of dollars every single year to Israel, which should absolutely not happen at all. I don't like the idea of anybody getting killed on either side. But when it comes to this Palestinian versus Israel thing, what's been my observation my entire life is you have these poor Palestinian people who can't leave their country, who are basically subject to, like, checkpoints from, like, Israeli military within Palestine. Like, these people can't even move around. This has been this way for decades. And, like, and so I've been studying child psychology. Palestine is, like, the perfect breeding ground because the way it's controlled, the poverty of the people, the lack of education of the people, the fact that they're blacked out from the rest of the world,
right.
The fact that it is quite literally an open-air prison, and to create, like, this massive extremist, generation, community, you know, collective of very angry, upset boys who are growing up to become men and see that they're, like, probably not going to have a woman to marry. You know, they're probably not going to have a life. Their life has already been, you know, excruciating hell. So, like, if you want to create an enemy, and that's kind of been the thing the entire time. Governments all through history have always had to create and back the enemy so they could have a conflict.
To justify their own side. Right.
To create their own power, to launder money from the taxpayers via fractional reserve banking and via the taxpayers to military industrial complex.
Even if it means sacrificing some of their own people. Like, if some Israeli people really did die from these attacks from these people from Gaza, and Israel was actually behind the attacks in Gaza, like, from a really long time coming, not just like, oh, Israel literally put a Israeli soldier up in the sky. Well, it wouldn't surprise me. It might sound surprising to some people, but it wouldn't surprise me because they don't actually care about, quote-unquote, their people. They care about their power. And so, if they got to break a few eggs to make an omelet, they will.
So, if you look at, World War II, for example, you look at Germany with the burning of the Reichstag. That was a false flag. That was an inside job to give the then sitting German government more power. If we look at World War II again, and we look at Pearl Harbor. Hmm. So there's some things that we know about the Japanese invasion on Pearl Harbor. The Japanese were helped out tremendously by American military and industrial complex interests to make that happen.
Oh, sure.
One of them being...
Alerts were ignored, right?
Alerts were ignored. There was ham radio operators that were like, hey, this fleet is coming.
Yeah, they knew they were coming. Not prepared.
There was tons of alerts. And also, U.S. Standard Oil, which was John D. Rockefeller Corporation, that had the... Now, this is post-prohibition. The purpose of prohibition, making alcohol illegal, was to... So you couldn't use alcohol as a motor fuel, so you had to buy Rockefeller's petroleum. And so previous to prohibition, if you lived in rural America, your Model A, your Model T, Ford, your tractor, your lamps in your house used alcohol. America was farming with alcohol and traveling with alcohol. In the city, you would buy petroleum, Rockefeller's dirty petroleum, and that's what was used in the cities, your gasoline, your petrol, your kerosene, whatever. Rockefeller became extremely powerful, and it was Rockefeller that actually was like gave the fuel to the Japanese fleet to get to, to do the attack on Hawaii. And so, and we look at Gulf of Tonkin, which was there was a U.S. destroyer or U.S. Navy ship was put out in the Gulf of Tonkin. And it was bombed.
Was there actually a ship that got bombed? What I remember from reading about the Tolkien, you mentioned this previous show, but I thought it was just a made-up story. Like, no ship actually got sunk.
Well, they claimed a ship got sunk, and there was something out there that they claimed got sunk and destroyed.
Right,
and
just a claiming of it.
So that's another thing, too. Like, you have these so-called terrorist attacks on infrastructure via the internet, and a gasoline pipeline shuts down. So it's really hard for them to say this gasoline pipeline blew up and not show any video.
You mean the Nordstrom, that one?
No. So that one, like, you can, there's video, it blew up, it shut down.
You mean still the Gulf of Tonkin?
No, this gas pipeline was like a couple years ago down in the Carolinas. I think they call it the Tennessee Mountain Connect, whatever. It was a pipeline that went from somewhere like in Louisiana up to like North Carolinas and Virginia to supply gasoline and diesel fuel to those areas. It was a pipeline and it shut off. And they said it was a cyber attack. Well, the thing is when they say it's a cyber attack or they say it's swine flu or COVID or whatever, you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, real actual evidence other than,
that's a good point.
You know, the people saying it. So when they have these cyber attacks screwed up a bunch of stuff, and this is what they say when they're, you know, the food chain thing breaks down. Oh, they'll be like, oh, there was a cyber attack. There's no way to really verify there was a cyber attack, you know, for the average guy. There's no, like, video footage of, you know, these guys on computers, you know, pushing enter and, you know, and laughing like a villain, you know, as they do it. You know, maybe somebody who's like a computer techie or, you know, understands all this stuff that has clearance and the ability to look into these things and those resources might be able to say there's a cyber attack, but you can't prove that to me.
Then they wouldn't be able to explain it to the normal people who aren't like coders. They just can't. They don't have both of those skill sets.
So this, like, constant plausible deniability that they're pushing with their false flags to get things going, government is constantly creating an enemy. So I see Palestine as a place where they have, when I say they, the Western powers, the money changers of the day, so the international banking cartels, all the countries that are, you know, using, that, you know, are backed by the U.S. dollar, essentially, you know, the European Union and, you know, all these countries that are getting U.S. munitions all the time and the U.S. military is there. And these countries are all occupied by U.S. military, too. They all have military bases in Germany, and they're all over the place, you know, everywhere. I think we have military bases in, like, 90% of the countries of the world or something crazy, or 80%. I don't remember the number. But it's always, like, they need to come up with an enemy. And Gaza, that whole area of Palestine has just been a petri dish used by, I believe, the Western governments, the Western financial resources, and a military-industrial complex to create these people who are basically going to have no choice to either starve to death or fight back.
Well, what's the best way to divide people is to attack religions and all, you know, you got Christianity, you got Muslim.
First program.
And Judaism, all epicenter of the origins of right there.
Well, we've got more coming up at Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever's on your mind. More coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Today, the House approved an aid package to Israel, marking the first significant test of Representative Mike Johnson's speakership. The package aims to provide $14.3 billion to Israel as it expands its military operations in Gaza. More American citizens leaving the conflict-ridden Gaza region. That's according to National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
Embassy Cairo has deployed a consular team to the Rafah crossing to support all these folks, make sure they get back to the embassy, and then we work with them on onward movement as appropriate.
He said 74 Americans crossed from Gaza into Egypt today. DoorDash is trying out a new policy regarding non-tipping customers, cautioning them about potential delays in their deliveries. Users will encounter a pop-up disclaimer within the app, notifying them that their food may take longer to arrive. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
The phone number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. We already have a caller I'm going to get to in a second, but first I've got to tell you about Dash, because this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction. And its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And a big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. Dash.org. And now, I didn't actually say who I am, so in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Jay Noon,
and Joa.
But I want to go straight to your phone calls and thoughts. We have Ed in Utah. Ed wanted to call in and talk about the same subject we were talking about, Israel. So what's on your mind? Ed?
Okay, thank you, Bonnie. A few things here. I do want to talk about, you were bringing up the Gulf of Tonkin, and then I'll get to Israel.
Okay.
Just a little fact that a lot of people don't know. The admiral involved in this so-called Gulf of Tonkin was actually the reporting admiral, if you will, was Admiral Morrison. This is the father of Jim Morrison of the Doors.
Whoa.
Isn't that
really
interesting?
Are you serious?
Yes, it is. I'm dead serious. You can check it out. But I throw that in there because of my kind of mantra here about the whole thing with Israel. I'm somebody that's on the far right, if you will. I've talked to you guys before, but I'm sure tracking with you on here. This is where the libertarians and small R Republicans can come together if they're willing to look at the facts. Israel, with the Deir Yassin massacre, took control of Israel, of the Palestine area, when they blew up the King David Hotel in 1946, July. They killed 92 British diplomats. The Stern Gang and the Ergun Gunrunners and all those people did that. They ran them out, and then they launched this massacre and this scare campaign to take over half of what it was Palestine at the time. And so just kind of rambling along here, moving along, then you have the, after the Kennedy assassination, a lot did change because Senator Kennedy in the 50s was, for the most part, kind of leading toward the Arab side under the Tripartite Agreement. But Senator Johnson, Lyndon Baines Johnson, was somebody that Golda Meir had referred to as our little Texas friend. So you can see how things shaped up on the geopolitical at that time. And enter this, 4 years after the Kennedy assassination, you have the USS Liberty. And all the big controlled media right now talking about the Six-Day War in 1967,
right.
And they will not mention June 8th of 67 when the Israelis brutal attack on the USS Liberty and killed 34 Americans, injured 171. They tried to sink the ship, except that Captain McGonagall kept it from sinking, and as such, he got a Congressional Medal of Honor, not given to him in the front of the White House lawn. No, back of the Naval Shipyard, Captain McGonagall. So when you see all that, and after the Kennedy assassination, how Mideast policy, U.S. Mideast policy, changed 180 degrees. And so you start fast-forwarding to Ron Paul, who revealed on 08, as you guys have mentioned, on the House floor, to finance and bring into being what is known as Hamas. And then one last little timeline here. In 2019, just ahead of COVID, they had, Netanyahu had successfully, in the Knesset, argued to keep funding the Hamas because it was brought about, as Ron Paul said, folks, to act as a counterweight to Yasser Arafat and the PLO. So to get kind of their own cat's paw within the movement, it does make sense. So I have looked into this and researched it for many years, the USS Liberty, June 8, 67, and the Tripartite Agreement, and the early massacres by the Israelis. So, no, I don't track with them. And they've never been held to account for killing 34 Americans.
Yeah, that's a
terrible. With fighter jets, too. It wasn't just like, you know, like shooting from another boat. It was fighter jets. Like, they were vulnerable to the highest degree.
Like war crime, right?
Oh, yeah.
And also, when they threw the lifeboats out, when they finally thought they had a chance, and the Israelis were sitting back in the gunboats, Captain McGonagall said, don't jump into the lifeboats. They just threw some out on the water empty. The Israelis, they had the binoculars. They knew it. But they couldn't see everybody. They didn't know who was in there. They opened fire. That it contravenes the Geneva Convention, of which Israel is not a signatory.
Wow.
These people are a mini state of terrorists, I'm telling you, and the American Christian right needs to wake up to that fact.
Well, thank you for all of that. That's, oh my God, a bunch of information.
You.
I don't really even...
I don't know if the Christian right has to wake up. I think everyone needs to wake up. But.
Well, they definitely need to also. But I just think that's so much information to take in. This guy's obviously been... researching it for a long time, said I can't follow it all, but I know...
I was able to follow it all.
Yeah, I followed it,
but I've heard it, all those snippets I've heard before.
Yeah.
I did, except for the thing about the Israeli gunboats shooting once the lifeboats got down. I hadn't heard that one before.
I do vaguely remember that. from a sport documentary.
There's a caller, a lady that calls in a lot still, and her only brother died on the USS Liberty, so that's how I heard about it. She called in and was talking about it.
I've heard her before. I got another comment about what he was saying. He refers to Israel as a mini terrorist state, like I said. Well, let's not forget Israel's number one financial backer is the mega terrorist state that is the United States. I mean, the United States spends more than like the top 10 countries in the world combined on military, you know, maintaining this empire. But, you know, that's what you have to do in order to maintain faith in this money that you print out of thin air so you can maintain, you know, control essentially over the world. And half the world, you know, we got a lot of places all over the world where you got a guy driving a $2 million, you know, supercar, and right next to him there's a homeless dude, you know, with his shopping cart, or, you know, or with just his, you know, whatever he's got, his rags that he's wearing. And you're starting to see a lot more of that, and that's because of this fractional reserve banking. And another thing with Kennedy is LBJ, who was probably in on the whole Kennedy assassination. And my brother, actually, a lyric in one of his songs, Josh Noon, and joshnoon.com is a website. I don't know if he runs anymore, but you can hear some of his music.
Noon with an E at the end?
Noon with an E, N-O-O-N-E. And anyways, my brother Josh, he's got a bunch of really cool original music that he wrote, you know, basically about corruption and government and stuff. And in one of the songs, he talks about, and when Jack died, Johnson smiled inside. And what Johnson did is, one of the first things he did was he took back Executive Order 1111. I don't remember it now.
It's like 11-0-0-0-11 or something.
Yeah. Well, basically, this was an executive order where JFK made it so that the Federal Reserve Bank could not lend money at an interest rate to the United States. And then what happened is you had these greenbacks that he brought back also via that executive order. So you'll see a lot of 1964, I believe it was, silver certificates. Right. And that was because JFK was actually had the Treasury issuing money instead of the Federal Reserve, because the United States has the ability to issue actual money. Like this national debt could be paid off very easily, but actually doesn't even have to be paid off. You know, the American people just need to tell the Federal Reserve to screw off. We're not paying you.
Yeah.
That's what really needs to happen. But anyways, so Executive Order 11110, I believe it was, that Kennedy did to essentially strip the Federal Reserve of essentially its influence and power was one of the first things that LBJ reversed or repealed. And just like when Biden came in, you know, we know President Biden, who's, you know, been basically a career pedophile. Trump had like this pedophile task force, and that was one of the first things that Biden shut down was this pedophile task force, child trafficking task force. And so, yeah, we definitely I've always thought that believe that JFK was the last president actually duly elected by the people.
I've heard a lot of people say that, and I don't really know why that is exactly, but I know that Lyndon B. Johnson, the guy who got to come in afterwards, got to be a part of the report. What do they call it? It's like with a W. The report.
The Warren Report?
Yeah, the Warren
Commission.
That got
the magic bullet theory.
Explain what happened. Explain it away.
Oh, Trump's going to release that. Everyone vote for Trump. He's going to release the Warren Report. Well, all right, Trump's in. Release the Warren Report.
He didn't
release the Warren Report.
Trump proves the president is basically not in power. There was all kinds of things that he tried to do that he wasn't allowed to do, like get out of Syria. You know, he wanted to get out of Afghanistan. They wouldn't let him do it. And then, of course, when they have Biden do it, you know, because Biden, you know, if Biden was my grandfather, I'd take his keys away.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, so they're using this guy, you know, they're abusing the administration. The deep state is abusing Joe Biden. They probably got him whacked out on all kinds of drugs to keep him moving or whatever. Who knows? And so now they got hit, you know, they do this botch removal of Afghanistan, and then they dump billions of dollars of, you know, munitions and money into Ukraine. And now it looks like a lot of it's showing up in Palestine. So and the people who run the world, the people who own the world, that we don't know who their names are. We just know who works for them, you know, media and big tech. And, you know, it's probably the AI that owns the world now. Who knows?
Yeah.
but But yeah, algorithms certainly in control. It's got a lot of slaves. And but these guys, they need a war. They need a, because we're in a major financial meltdown right now that nobody's reporting on. We were in a major financial meltdown right before COVID, and they just, with the stimulus, created a whole bunch of money. So the powers that be, because there's a massive financial, you know, we're on a cliff of a massive financial meltdown, the powers that be, they can kick off World War III. It'll just go into money printing,
yep,
and money printing and this emergency stuff, and then we're going to have rationing, and it's going to be really interesting if they try to draft Americans.
So I'm going to get a lot of haters that watch listen to this show, and I had a discussion last night and with a friend of mine, but I believe that Bitcoin was created by the government, actually more like defense contractors and people within government, whatever. And they did it to trade their value between other defense contractors.
But now, it's not even...
But why? But here's the question.
No,
why did they do that?
It's not even private.
I'll tell you why.
Why would they do it if it's totally visible?
That's also part of it. And this is, it's all part of it. It's because it's traceable and all that stuff, right? But look who is the number one asset holder of Bitcoin right now.
I don't know. Who is it?
It's the government. Yeah.
The government.
Who is it?
So you know that they planned this right now, where we are, of them, the biggest holders of Bitcoin. You know that it was going to become a thing. They knew that it was going to be used for all the wrong things so that they could seize it and hold in their own assets. And then I really believe that this is a huge wealth transfer. And if you're, in my opinion, if you're still in Bitcoin right now, you're going to get what you deserve. Like, you're
like
part,
it's going to go down?
I feel like it is definitely, like, the biggest front in the crypto world, of course, because it's, like, the trender. But I think it's going to narrow down. I think it's I think it's the government coin. I think it's the world centralized currency. It's the world currency that they were always wanting to have, and they got it. And the only way that they can control the markets is to get involved, but to get involved, that means they had to start it in the first place. And if you look back in BitGold and how it was developed, it was all defense contractors. It really was. It just makes sense, and who's the one that continues wars? And think about this. When it comes to the economy, defense contractors, if they just shut down tomorrow, right, this country would just collapse, regardless if they just keep printing money. If they stop printing money tomorrow, right, and the defense contractors are still going to exist, but if the defense contractors just die out, we're done. This country's done. The upper middle class is what's feeding everybody, and they know that they need to keep this going while inflation's occurring, so they have to create a war to allow the defense contractors to rebuild so that the money flows further into this country. I really think this is all a staged event.
If the defense contractors are done, I mean, you know, go kaput tomorrow, and the economy collapses, that's only a big deal because people have to pay property taxes in order to maintain on their property. So it's because you have to pay property taxes that, like, you know, would be a lot of hardship. If the economy really collapsed and you didn't have all these taxes and rules and regulations and we could all just, you know, freely trade with each other amongst each other, the market would, you know, do its thing and we'd get along.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think I actually would love to see defense contractors just die tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what would happen is basically the biggest threat would be make sure you have guns, because the poor people who don't have any sort of, they don't have any food in their basement, they don't have any skills or anything, who just rely on the government to send them a check every month, they'd start trying to kill people and take what's yours if you have a farm or whatever. So
That's what happened in Russia. The masses of the incompetent people who were basically just doing what they were told by the government for a few generations under the communism, as when it got to the point where they couldn't feed themselves anymore, they couldn't eat, they basically just destroyed any shops, shopkeepers, any farms. They marched out into the country and took whatever they could. You know, anybody who had anything of value was essentially stripped of it. And but that was essentially a society where, you know, you couldn't have any guns.
No one had
at the
guns.
Time. Nobody had guns.
But
what's going to be real interesting is if they start drafting Americans for this World War III.
Yeah.
These guys are trying like hell to start.
Because like most people won't do it, right?
Don't really?
You think?
If you're in tons of college debt and they're not doing any debt relief and you can't find a job in your career choice. And the government goes, oh, yeah, oh, we got that kind of job for you. Here.
I just don't think most people
are going
to do it. Like, especially if it's, like, front lines, like, you're going to die.
I think a draft is not going to be like you've seen before. So so we could have a – so there, historically, the draft is like, all right, every male 18 to, what, 45 is, you know, to report here, and we're going to come get you if you don't.
Hmm.
Well, first off, don't sign up for Selective Service, which I did not do, and nobody has to do.
Hmm.
There's no – nobody can make you put your signature on, you know, on any document. Your signature is your property. So, therefore, you don't have to sign up for the Selective Service. And second, so the military's gone woke, so to be attractive to the woke people, and the, you know, so the colleges are churning out a whole bunch of woke people, a whole bunch of algorithmic slaves. I mean, literally, you know, and most anyone who goes to college for, like, medical, you know, any of this education stuff, just, you know, or get some kind of government job or whatever parasite, you know, economy thing they're looking to do is part of this cult of wokeism, it seems like, best I can tell. So now, like Joe was saying, these guys got tons of debt. So I met a family this summer. They have two kids. And they both work for University of Vermont.
Hmm.
And they see me and my two kids, and our kids were about the same age. I'm sure their kids were vaccinated.
Hmm.
And we were at, like, an ice cream joint. And this was, you know, over by the beach. And I was talking about, well, you know, they're like, oh, we can't, but your kids are only three, and this one's not even two, and he's talking like this, and he's saying this thing. And, you know, my son Cash is like, look at my motorcycle, you know, he's telling these people, vroom, vroom. And, you know, my daughter's,
yeah,
you know,
whenever I heard your daughter speak at Porkfest this year, I was like, whoa. Like, the last time I saw her, she was too little to speak, I think, and then all of a sudden she was saying long, thought-out sentences.
Yeah, know? And my two-year-old son, too, he's like, you know, at 18 months old, he's like, you're driving down the road, and there's an excavator on the side of the road. He's like, excavator.
Wow.
And my mom's like, he says four-syllable words, and he's 18 months old. That's crazy.
That's,
well, the thing is with kids, it is very, very hard. Like, so when you're born, you pretty much have your highest intelligence right there, your most intelligence. You're born with all the intelligence you're going to get. It's very hard to increase intelligence. But it is actually pretty easy to reduce intelligence. And a lot of parents unknowingly reduce the intelligence of their children by malnourishment. So when you see these 75-pound four-year-olds, that's a malnourished kid. Because, or just like when you see, you know, 350-pound 30-year-olds, that's a malnourished adult. You know, they're eating all these empty calories, they're eating all this junk food.
And now they have all these toxins in their fat cells.
All this stuff, all these bad things happening. So what's happening with a lot of kids that are brought up in the woke culture is the kids are getting vaccinated. The parents are probably vaccinated while they were pregnant or before they were pregnant. They're giving their kids internet devices, a lot of these people. These people who work at University of Vermont, they both work there. They live in an apartment that costs them $3,000 a month.
The kids are probably in daycare.
The kids are in daycare. The kids are vaccinated. The kids have their internet devices. The daycare requires the internet devices. Daycare is like subsidized by the college. And they were basically, they're like, wow, how are your kids this advanced? I'm like, my kids aren't advanced. This is the way kids have been for years. Go look at any Amish family. This is the way their three-year-olds are. My three-year-old was gutting chickens with me last week. We butchered 80-some-odd chickens, and we had a couple three-year-olds, a couple five-year-olds, a seven-year-old, and they were all, and some moms. We were all, you know, doing the chicken harvesting. And, you know, they were into it. They were learning about it. We had a guy come, Ian Underwood of Bardo Farm. He came and he taught us all about the chicken anatomy and how to butcher a chicken. It was really good. And the kids were into it. So the thing is the college people, the career college people who basically have been in some kind of mind control, you know, government indoctrination, for their entire brain development life, you know, 20 some odd years,
yeah,
are broke.
You're segueing to what I was actually thinking about before you were talking. Is that it doesn't matter if they're fat. It doesn't matter if they're stuck behind computer screens. You know why? I just sent it to the news prep chat over there. Mm. But I believe the future of warfare, and we haven't really seen it yet with this new war, is robots.
Yep.
And so and this is going to be a scary part, is because I think the kids are already just so used to warfare and the video games and that sort of thing. They're like kind of desensitized, and they got some skills, I tell you
right,
that.
Right.
But you really look at it, they're going to be sitting down in front of a computer, and they already have the drones, you know, flying over and bombing, and they're doing it all remotely. But what I'm really scared of is that the kids are not going to know they're actually bombing real people.
Oh, you mean like in the movie Ender's Game? You remember? Did you see that movie?
It's been a while. But what I'm saying is, like, I believe that you're going to have live feeds of, like, of the ground or from the perspective of the robots that are actually there on the battlefields, like actual battlefields. But the kids are going to be looking on the screen, and they're going to be said, oh, this is just training.
Yeah, but people are already...
They're going to think it's virtual reality.
I think people are sociopathic enough that they would kill people with a robot.
Oh,
they
sure.
already do that with drones.
No, but I don't think they're going to have to be told it's real people. They're going to be told it's a simulation, and they're just going to do it because they're told.
The
they're training.
The people who were telling them would be the ones who get that karmic reaction, and they know that karma is real, so they want people to be doing this of their own accord. That's what I believe.
So there's plenty of unhinged algorithmic slaves who are absolutely willing to do violence.
I don't think they'd have to be tricked.
So I don't think they have to be tricked either. But the ones that have to be tricked, they can go to a different area. Now, they're all going to be probably doing this remotely from home. So they'll be zooming into work for war. And they'll be, so they're broke. They're living in apartments that are, you know, tremendously overpriced. Their kids are being indoctrinated and, you know, they're not getting, you know, mommy, daddy time. They're not learning. They're not earning their dopamine hits from, you know, doing things that children should be doing, which is like interacting with, you know, farm animals, as far as I'm concerned, and being outside and playing in the dirt and in the grass and climbing trees and, you know, doing that kind of stuff. They're probably not getting books read to them because, you know, daycare, they want you to have an actual internet device for your kid. Mm-hmm. And so when the new draft is going to start off as, well, we will defer all your college debt and we're going to pay you this amount of money and give you a housing allowance and give you health care to come be in the woke military, because the only people who are going to be in a position to where they have massive college debt are basically these woke people, and they're living in these crappy apartments.
Who can't get the jobs when they get out? The ones that have like, you know, all different colored hair.
Yep, exactly.
And they went to like
saying.
Gender studies or something.
Yeah.
Like something that doesn't like equal a job. We didn't really get to all of your guys' calls in that segment because there wasn't really a time to stop.
It was good
saying
chat.
What we're talking about exactly. So 603-283-6160. If you're on the phones, just hold after this break. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh, yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.